The title of this lecture is, Are the Jews of Palestine the True Descendants of Israel? This is a subject I think all of us would like to know about, especially those of us who are interested in prophecy. And, as a matter of fact, we could also talk about doctrine, because the Apostle Paul made a big issue out of the matter of Israel and Judaism and all of that. And let's face it, he came out of Judaism and was one of the most trained individuals in the subject at the time. But this question comes up periodically with all of us, and we're all interested in it, and I think it's time that we look at the overall principles of the Bible from a historical point of view, more or less from the physical side of things, of whether or not the Jews in Palestine at the present time, who have gathered there from well over 100 countries from around the world, whether or not they physically and racially represent themselves as descendants of Israel, that is, the 12 tribes that came in to Palestine back there in the time of the Exodus. We have to ask ourselves that question, and in actual fact, when we look at the Bible itself, and also the history that has come down to us over the last 2,000-3,000 years, we can answer the question pretty well. And I don't think there's too much difficulty in it, but on some of the subjects, obviously, peripheral areas, there will always be questions. But I am going to look at this now from a general point of view, not so much the specific, but in the general. And I think we can say without any doubt that when we look at the evidence, that the majority of the people who call themselves Israelis, or shall we say it that way, that's what they call themselves, in Palestine at the present time, do have a considerable amount of Israelitish blood in them, and in some cases, they are without doubt Israelites. Now, this does not account for everybody, and let us understand that. Now, but let's look at this whole question from a biblical point of view. You know, when you go back to the time of Moses and the Exodus took place, all we have to do is to recall the events associated with the Israelites in Egypt and what happened when they were led by Moses to Sinai and then finally into the land of Canaan. And when we look at the information there, we find that not only did the 12 tribes of Israel come out, or most of them, from Egypt, but it says a mixed multitude also went with them, a mixed multitude. There were more than just Israelites there. There were other peoples of Abrahamic stock, and no doubt even Egyptians themselves. For example, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were two of the paramount tribes in Israel, had as a mother an Egyptian. Now, it's been disputed whether or not she was Egyptian by race. We can't absolutely be certain on that, but no doubt, being a priest of the area, you would think that the people were in the priesthood were certainly descendants of the ancient Egyptians, maybe and maybe not. Well, there's no way of absolutely telling this, but Ephraim and Manasseh themselves would have come from an Egyptian source, half of them, half and half. And then let's go on. We even find in the genealogy of Christ the mention of the word of the woman Rahab. Rahab was a woman of Jericho. Jericho was made up of Canaanites, and Rahab, you recall, was spared because she spared the tribes, the two spies, I should say, that came in to spy out the land. Rahab became a descendant of Christ himself, and Rahab was a Canaanite. So we even find that Canaanite blood was in the veins of Christ. Very diluted, you might say, but nevertheless, that's the way that it was. And then you can go on to a later time in biblical history. The book of Esther is a most interesting book, and it speaks of a time when all of the provinces of Persia in the 5th century B.C., about 400 and some years before the birth of Christ, all the provinces of Persia, the Gentiles in those provinces, rose up against the Jews to wipe them out almost to a man. That means the remnant of the peoples who had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and now they found themselves scattered throughout all of the provinces of the Persian Empire, including Palestine. Well, you know the story of Esther, I'm sure, how Esther and Mordecai finally, by the intervention of God, was able to save the Jews in a most remarkable way. And so spectacular was the salvation that it says something here about many Gentiles of the land who lived 400 and some odd years before the birth of Christ. That is, in every province of the Persian Empire, which was very vast indeed, it says that many of the Gentiles became Jews as a result of the great miracle that took place. This is Esther chapter 8, verse 17. I think I ought to refer to this, because it says, After the great miracle when the Jews were saved, it says, and in every province, every Persian province, that means all of them, and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and the decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. In other words, many Persian Gentiles of various races or whatever became Jewish people because they saw that God was working with them. So we even have biblical evidence here going back to the Exodus that a mixed multitude came out with them. Ephraim and Manasseh were probably half Egyptian. Rahab and her people became a part of Israel. And then we find here that many people of the Persian Empire became Israelites. Also, we read in the law that an Egyptian in the third generation, could any Egyptian who wanted to take up residency in Israel and absorb the customs of Moses, whether they be Edomites, yes, Edomites and Egyptians in the third generation, and even Moabites and Ammonites in the tenth generation, could all become Israelites if they wished. And we know the story of Ruth, of course, when she came to the fields of Boaz, she was a Moabitess and became a part of the Judaic economy back at that time. There is a long, long history in the Bible of many peoples other than just racial Israelites becoming a part of the Commonwealth of Israel. And God allows this. God allowed it. The only ones that he did not in mass allow to become Israelites were Canaanites. But still at the same time, we have Rahab, who was a Canaanite as an individual, becoming a part of the Israelitish economy. So there has been a long history of people, of Gentile peoples, becoming Israelites. That's what I'm showing, and it's clearly in the Bible. But even after the Bible, that is the Old Testament, closed when the canon came to an end, we have further evidence mentioned by Josephus and others, and this is clear history, there is no doubt about it, that whole nations of peoples became Israelites or became Jews and were circumcised and absorbed the Jewish customs and religion, etc., etc. For example, the Idumeans who lived in the south of Palestine, around the area of Petra and going westward to the Mediterranean there. All of them, virtually all of them, were converted in the 2nd century B.C. To Judaism and accepted the rites of it, and most of them became even more zealous Jews, quote-unquote, than the Jews themselves. Josephus also says that an Arabian tribe up near Damascus, known as the Iturians, were also converted to Judaism and became Jews, were circumcised, and merged into the general society. We also read that in the time of Christ, in the area of Abiadene, in Mesopotamia, we have this in Josephus as well, in Philo, and clearly in history, the Queen Helena and her group of people, Gentiles, clearly became Jews by conversion. And we find that Josephus said that because Jews were scattered around the world, and Philo also living at the same time said there's so many Jews in the Roman Empire at the time, and many people were taking up with their customs, particularly women, that many of the children born were being reared in a form of Judaic religion. In fact, they had even a classification of these people. They were called God-fearers, or people who lived at the gate, that is, the gate of Judaism, the gate of Israel, but at the same time absorbing Judaistic customs, Israelitish customs, the Mosaic customs, and going by them and all of that. And many people, Gentiles who had nothing to do with those customs, looked on all of them as Jews, Jews in religion. But everybody knew that not everyone who was called a Jew at the time or an Israelite was a completely pure Israelite by this time. But the society itself, if they were going by Mosaic laws and all that, were generally reckoned as Jews and understood to be that way. What we have to ask ourselves is this question. Since there's a long history of many, many Gentile groups coming into Judaism or to become a part of the Mosaic economy or Israelitish economy, though that be the case and all of that, does this mean then that these people in the Old Testament period up to the time of Christ who absorbed Judaism and Israelitish custom, that they just have to be considered as not Jews or not Israelites, but just more Gentile than anything else? Well, if we ask ourselves that question, and that's an important one, all we have to do from there on is to go into the New Testament itself and to see the opinions of Christ or the apostles on this matter. And as far as I'm concerned, we can go no farther or no higher authority than Jesus Christ himself on these matters. So when Christ Jesus came into the world back some 2,000 years ago, he came amongst a people in Galilee and in Judea and Perea, and he began to preach the gospel to them. And this was a people living in Palestine called Jews, called Israelites, and all of that. And they were a mixed group, that's quite true, but still predominantly with them, clearly, was Israelitish blood. There can hardly be any doubt about this, because even Christ himself, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. On one occasion, he went north of Judea to the northernmost part of his teaching ministry to a place near Tyre and Sidon. And you'll recall the section of Scripture in Matthew 15 here, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is a very important statement when you come to the matter of race and whether those people that Christ came to back at that time were indeed the house of Israel. That is that how Christ looked at it? Granted, there was a mixture, we all know that. But did he reckon them as the house of Israel? Well, he said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now the point I'm bringing out here in this context is that Jesus at first did not want to answer that woman. He didn't want to help that woman. He didn't want to give that woman, being a Canaanite and a Gentile, any of the teaching of salvation or anything. But she persisted, and he saw her faith, and he blessed her. But he said, I am sent only, he says, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, going back a little farther to Matthew 10, when he called his 12 disciples to go out into the world and to preach, here's what he said. Verse 1 of Matthew 10, And he called unto him his 12 disciples, gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Then he names the 12 here. Now verse 5, These 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not ye into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Now that's what he told those 12 back there. Don't you go to any Gentiles, any nations, any of the nations. Don't you go even to the Samaritans. Now, they were half Israelite, you see, or perhaps that way. But he goes on, don't you do that. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there are some people say the house of Israel is up in Britain at this time. Well, the 12 apostles didn't go to Britain. Not all 12 of them, if anyone ever went up there. He sent them out, he said, to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor so forth and so on. And he goes on to say that you just go on and teach throughout these areas. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities with the disciples. They went throughout the land of Palestine at the time and preaching and teaching, but they weren't to go to the Gentiles, they weren't to go to the Samaritans, they were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we know clearly that there were Israelites there of all tribes, because in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, it says that even Ephraim and Manasseh, some of them were back in Palestine after the Babylonian captivity. And then Anna, the aged woman who took up Christ in his arms when he was a baby, was from the tribe of Asher, and that's one of the 10 tribes. And then the tribe of Benjamin was certainly there, and others. And here we find Christ saying, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, too, that if people say, well, the Jews were just all mixed up Gentiles, they couldn't possibly have been Israelite at the time. You know, John, in John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verses 20 through 22, when Christ was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and the question came up, where should we worship? In the Samaritan mountain of Gerizim or in Jerusalem? And he says, woman, salvation is of the Jews, of the Jews. And throughout all of John, the Gospel of John, Jews are mentioned time again. The Jews, you know, all the time. And he says, salvation is not of the Samaritans, but of the Jews. That's John chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, coming out of Jerusalem. If salvation comes from the Jews, well, isn't that interesting? Salvation was given to Israel back there, or to Judah back there at the time of Moses. That is the message of salvation. And it persisted right on down until the time of Christ. And Christ was telling the Samaritan woman, if you want salvation, you better get it from the Jews. That's where it's going to come from. Of course, it's going to come from him, and he himself was a Jew. In John chapter 8 and verse 37, Christ was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, I know you are of Abraham's seed. That's what he said, John 8 verse 37. 8:37. And in the Apostle Paul's writings, Romans chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, here he is talking to the Romans, but he says, you know, salvation goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now, who were these Jews that Paul was talking about in Romans that salvation was going to first? And the ones that Jesus came to, he said, I am sent to the house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, in Romans chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, we have some very good information. What advantage then hath the Jew, says Paul? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Oh, there was a good reason for being a Jew back there in the first century. Why? Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The oracles of God, meaning the Word of God, starting with Moses and the Ten Commandments and all of that. Unto them, the Jews, were given the oracles of God. It also went to all the other tribes, didn't it? But by this time, the word Judah was so powerful and had embraced so many of the other of the tribes that most people weren't even calling them Israelites by that time. They were calling them by the name Jews, because in a spiritual sense, the Jews were the ones leading the other tribes by that time. Not Ephraim, not Manasseh, it was the Jews. And that name got on all the other tribes. The Apostle Paul even said, I am a Jew. But in another breath, he said, I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an Israelite. It depends on how you look on all these things. All right? The oracles of God were given to the Jews. That's what Paul said in the first century. Clearly, then, Paul was looking on those Jews back there as descendants of those that came out of Egypt who got the oracles of God, that meaning the Ten Commandments and all of that, plus all the prophets that came later. And in Matthew chapter 23, verses 31 and 32, Christ has some very interesting information here about the racial identity of these people who he was talking to back at that time. He was criticizing the Jews, all right, and the Pharisees and the scribes, but notice what he says. Wherefore ye, this is verse 31, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. That's what he said. Yeah, you're going to kill me, you're going to kill everybody else, aren't you? Yeah, but you're righteous. However, he says, you are the children of those who killed the prophets of old. So fill up the measure of your fathers, and I'll tell you, go back to Jeremiah and to Isaiah and the others who were killed back there at that time, and you'll find it was the Jews doing it. I mean the literal Jews, long before much of this admixture ever came in. So we have even Christ saying, I know you are of Abraham's seed. So, and yes, and you were the ones that killed the prophets. So fill up the measure of your own fathers. Paul, talking to the Jews up in Central Asia Minor, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 26, says, O you who are of the stock of Abraham. And then he goes on to speak to the Jews, it says, to the stock of Abraham. He felt that they were that, certainly racially, mostly Israelites. James chapter 1 gave his whole epistle to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And then he gave a description showing mostly where they were. They were in Mediterranean countries. And in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul, talking to King Agrippa, speaking about Jews, said, and all 12 tribes, all our 12 tribes, instantly and constantly are praying to God Almighty. Well, my, if the 12 tribes, some of them were up in England or in the steppes of Russia or someplace like that, and Gentiles and uncircumcised and not knowing the law and not even knowing who God was, as so many people say today, how in the world could Paul say our 12 tribes are instantly, constantly praying to God, you know, even though they were doing it in the wrong way? Well, Paul goes on to speak about Israel And he says, you know, the Israel in chapter 9 of Romans, 9, 10, and 11, he said, Israel has really rejected God and rejected Christ at the time. But he said, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And since only 7,000, do you know how many Jews or Israelites there were, Jews, let's say, in the Roman Empire in the first century? Well, we don't exactly know how many, what the population of the empire was, but it's been conservatively estimated at about 80 million. 10% of those people, at least 8 million were Jews, and there's hardly a doubt about it. 8 million Jews, and though this is a figure of speech, 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal like it was in Elijah's time. Just a bare remnant. And Paul said, why are the Israelites, the Israel of God, that were supposed to get the knowledge from God, why have they been turned aside and you Gentile Romans and others have been brought in? Well, you've been grafted in until a time, he says, for out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob means the 10 tribes, you see. The 10 tribes of Israel will be hostile and enemies of God and of Christ, basically, not altogether, because 7,000 haven't bowed the knee to Baal, but most of them will be hostile to Jesus Christ and to the truth until the second coming of Christ. Now, I ask you this. We have friends perhaps down there in Israel. There are people down there. There are Palestinians and all of that. They call themselves Israel today. And are they as a group? I'm not talking about a few remnants, but as a group hostile to Jesus Christ? Yes, they are. Do they meet the qualifications, those in Israel today, for being the Israel that Paul was talking about, that rejected Jesus Christ back there, that it had to go to the Gentiles as a result, to the Romans and to others? That is true. And you know why the United States of America and Great Britain and all of our countries in Northwestern Europe who have basically accepted the gospel message from the very beginning, we accepted it. Now, we haven't kept it precisely, our ancestors, but we have kept it, we have absorbed it philosophically and in principle. Why, Christianity is just widespread throughout Northwestern Europe and throughout America and other places like that. But do you find Christianity widespread amongst the Israelis down in Jerusalem and in Judea? No, you don't. But do you find it amongst us? Yes. Has Jesus Christ visibly come back from heaven yet? No, he hasn't come back. Do you know we're in the times of the Gentiles right now? This proves that basically, physically I'm talking about, the descendants who are here from Northwestern Europe, in the United States of America, in Great Britain and all of that, and Germany, are basically Gentiles because we have accepted, basically and philosophically, the New Testament. But the others are still in the same boat that the Apostle Paul put them in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. So you ask the question, are the Jews down there Jews racially? Well, there's lots of admixture. We know that. And even in the book of Revelation, it talks about people who say they are Jews and are not. There is no doubt there's a lot of mixture. That's quite true. It's in the Bible. It's in history. But basically, yes, they are Israelites of all 12 tribes, basically. But they're still called Jews. They were in Paul's time. They are now. And what we need to recognize is that this nonsense that people of Judaism are not Jews ought to be got rid of because they are the stock of Abraham.